Blog Talk Radio.
Believe that somebody has reported my number
for texting them when all they had to do was say remove them from the list, and I would gladly remove them. But I don't think that any of you are receiving any text from me anyway right now. So the usual text that I send out announcing, you know, that the class is about to start or whatever, it's going to be the next class, they're not going through, none of my texts are going through to any number, which tells me that it's probably blocked at the provider's level, and that's okay. I'm fine with that for right now. But, you know, so you'll have to look for the email that I send out. And, of course, in the email, it gives you the option to unsubscribe. I didn't see that as an start texting again. Then I will have an option in there where people can unsubscribe to the text message. But nevertheless, that's what I believe has gone on, that has happened. And so I'm going to stop texting so that that block can come off. And then I will get with the provider and say, okay, where did I violate at, and what do I need to do? All right, with that being said, I'm going to open, you know, this is an open forum, so I'm going to open your line. If you want to be muted, mute the phone from your end. This is more so of a participation type of environment where if you have questions, you can have questions. If you have comments, you can make your comments. We are going to be starting in Genesis, and for this particular lesson, we're going to look at, we've already did this before, but it's that time of the year, so we're going to look at the lineages of the sons of Ham and who the scripture said that they became, okay? And you might say, well, you know, Black History Month, for most of us, as I said, for those of you who have been tuning in for the past year, then you know that we have been reading in other sources concerning who the historical Hebrews were. And why is that important? For the simple reason, you got about five or six groups in the world that claim to be the lost people of the house of Israel, who claim to be the Israelites. Whether they are the Mormons, or whether they are the Ashkenazi Jews, or whether they are the British royalty, you got different people claiming to be the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the problem with that is that the Most High says that if Israel was disobedient, and we know Israel was disobedient, and that he would scatter Israel throughout all the world for disobedience, and that in the last dispensation, the diaspora, Israel will not be brought back into the land until Messiah returns. So in 1948, when they recreated the land of Israel, the nation of Israel, let's put it that way, when they recreated the nation of Israel, then they were trying to fulfill Bible prophecy, and they were trying to negate the promises that are in the book. Okay, to Israel, and trying to fulfill them themselves. The only problem with that is the true people of the book would be in captivity. They would be not in Israel until Messiah's return. They would be being abused and being whipped until they start conforming in the land of their enemies. But when we talk about Black history in the U.S., I'm going to deal with it from that standpoint, because we are scattered globally. So this would apply globally. But when we look at it in the U.S., and the reason that it's important is that our history doesn't start at slavery. And that's what this country teaches, that, you know, our history starts when we arrived in this country as slaves. But any of our history prior to that, and they just want to say you come from the continent of Africa. Okay. Well, Africa is a continent. It's not a country. It's made up of countries. And so what country did we come from in Africa? Well, they don't really want to discuss that. Okay. So what we have been doing the past year is looking at sources outside of the Bible, using the Bible also, but outside of the Bible, history outside of the Bible and outside of the U.S., because you're not going to find this stuff documented for the most part. You'll find it in a lot of the colleges, but you won't necessarily find it available to the public that says that the Jews, the Portuguese and a lot of other countries, in their history and writings and stuff, report that the Jews that were in their country were black. And that Portugal said, hey, we kicked all of the Jews who were black, but all of them out of our country, and we sent their children to the west coast of Africa, to an island off the west coast of Africa, and then a lot of them to the west coast of Africa. So when you are doing your DNA, if you do your DNA, then a lot of us, they'll come back and say, well, the vast majority of your people are on the west coast of Africa, whether in Benin or Togo or Nigeria, those areas. But that's also what was the slave coast and where they took the slaves from. And so when you start looking at other historical documents with the King of Spain and the King of Portugal, the King of England, what all these people did was, at the direction of the Pope, you can take slaves between these parallels. What just so happened to be where we sort of ended up at. Okay, and so they took slaves, and even, not just the, won't just say just the Hamites, but even the Muslims, knew who we were, and if you didn't convert to Islam, you were either killed or sent into slavery, sold as a slave. So they knew, and they knew who we were. You're the people of the book, and it's okay to sell you into slavery because you have dishonored the Most High. And it's a mechanism that the Most High used to scatter us. So it's important that we understand from a historical standpoint that we are the people of the book. Okay? That doesn't make us better than anyone else. What it does is tells us, we messed up. Our forefathers messed up. Bad. You get us kicked out of the land and scattered into all the nations. We have to recognize that, and you can only recognize that if you know who you are. You can only repent for that if you know who you are. And so, the text and everything, reason why I still wanted to use this site, because they have just hundreds and hundreds of documents from different, countries, from different centuries that say these things. And they all point to who are the true Hebrew Israelites. Okay? And so rather than just saying it because somebody told you that you were a Hebrew Israelite or you felt like you were a Hebrew Israelite, it is something that is discoverable. And it's not hidden. But it's hidden where they don't want you to know it. And, what do they say? You want to hide something from somebody black? Put it in a book. They won't find it. Okay? So the history is out there. So we're going to do it since the site is down and I didn't download, I start downloading content from their site so that I can have it so that we would be able to use it just for this very reason, where they have taken the site down, and it's not the owners of the site. I'm sure that it's the ISP or someone else has taken the site down or blocked it. And so you can't get at the information anymore. I pray to the Most High that, it comes back up and that we are able to use it as a source. And then I'll make it a point every time that I get on the site to download content so that we have it to share, because the bottom line is I know who told me who I am, okay, but that doesn't help you. And whoever told you who you are, it doesn't help me, because we'll say, well, our people will say we always knew that we were kings and queens, but we had nothing to back it up. We had nothing to show our history and the way that we were done in slavery. it was made sure, you know, it was ensured that we would not know our history. So if you split the families up, if the vast majority of the slaves that you brought over were 12 years old, that was the average age. What are they gonna really know? Now, there were some older ones, and there were some younger ones, but the average age was 12 years old. That's how it was done, how they indoctrinated. You know, as a 12-year-old, you don't know too much, and you're sure not grown up to, you know, to put up a fight. And if you survived the transatlantic slave trade, if you survived the voyage, the only reason you survived the voyage is because you had the ability to absorb where a lot of us get our hypertension from. That's where a lot of us get the love of salt on our food. We love, you know, putting some salt on some food, like we crave it. But it's because of that. There's some genetics behind it, and there's some reasons that, you know, having that ability to absorb that salt is what allowed those particular slaves to survive the journey. Now, this is a known thing, okay? So when we, you know, start to talk about celebrating African-American history, just know that your history doesn't start in 1619. It doesn't start when they started taking slaves from Africa. That is where we ended up at after the Most High had Israel and Jerusalem destroyed. They didn't run into the Roman Empire, which was north of them. They ran along the northern coast of Africa and toward the south, you know, south of the Sahara, and ended up on the west coast of Africa. And if you go to the countries of Nigeria, if you go to Ghana, Togo, Benin, all these countries now are saying that they are the lost people of the house of Israel. And a lot of them have apologized for sending us into slavery, apologized for the slave trade. Okay, so this stuff that you're not gonna hear normally on the American news, you're not gonna hear. So let's do this. Go ahead and do the necessary. You may have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us do our statement of faith, and then we will jump into this lesson. We've sort of done this one before, but, you know, on last week, we sort of didn't have anything to do because the site was down. The site continues to be down. So I'm sort of going to start back in the Bible, and we'll do the lineages and things like that, and then I have to redevelop this material again, unless the site comes back up, because we were using it. And it is a good site. I mean, this guy has done scholarly work. You know, you could use this as a Bible course anytime, the way he had the site laid out and, you know, everything in it. So it wasn't a matter of it was just something somebody threw together. All right, so holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We glorify you on today, and we lift you up, Father. And we magnify your name. And we extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee, for you you are kind and you are merciful, and we will not bow down to anyone but you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory, 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 glory. All glory and honor and praise belong to you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Go to the book of Psalms, chapter 94. The book of Psalms, chapter 94. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. Psalms 94, verses 1 through 14. And when I say Yah, let me do this since we got some people that are listening that may not be familiar with this name. Let's do this first. It's going to take about 2 minutes. Go to Psalm, is it 64 and 11? Might be 69 and 11. Let's see. It's bad when you get old. I can hear. Also, these computers can make you get lazy, too. Let's go to Psalm 68 and 4. The book of Psalms, chapter 68 and verse 4. Now, this is the name that most Jamaicans use, okay? Those that are on the island. It's the name that's in the book. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, J-A-H, and rejoice before him. Now, Jah, the reason that you will hear people pronouncing this name, Yah, is because there's three reasons. Number one, there is no Hebrew letter. I want us to understand this. There is no Hebrew letter that makes a J sound. Not one makes that sound. So you can never come up with a name that started with a J sound. Number two, there is no Greek letter that makes the J sound. So even when they translated the Bible into the Greek, you could not come up with the name of the Most High with a Jah sound. Those sounds in the Hebrew and in the Greek, and in the Greek it would be with an I, made all both, and in the beginning the J made the Yah sound. It did not make a Jah sound, made a Yah with a Y. So Jacob would be Yaakov with a Y. So when I say Yah, this is the verse and this is the name the Most High revealed to me. So I use this name religiously, Yah, in Hallelujah. Okay, 10,000 praise to Yah. Okay, and so that is the name that I'm convicted of. So everywhere in the Bible where you have capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, what's his name? And where you have the Lord God, what's his name? Okay, so they replace name with the title Lord 6,702 times in the Old Testament alone. So he wanted us to know his name. And he wanted us to call on his name. Yah. Now, Jehovah is a form of his name. Yah is a form of his name. The short form of his name. Okay, so I don't want anybody to, you know, be flipped out like, why are you using that name? Also, when you see the word God, God is also a name for a German deity. And so we use Elohim. in place of the word God, okay? Because we don't want to address our Elohim as some other deity. And people, you know, this is important. So when I'm talking and I'm saying Yah or I'm saying Elohim, just when we're reading, I'm going to replace God with Elohim. And if I see the Lord or Lord or the Lord Jesus Christ, because even that is a twisting of what was intended in the scriptures. They added the title to the name of Messiah when his name is Yeshua. His name has the name of the Most High in it, and it's not Jesus. Okay, it's Yeshua. Yah is salvation. So we got to understand that, okay? So when you hear me using those names, that's why I'm using them, okay? And the Lord translates to, in the Hebrew, the Lord actually translates to the name B-A-A-L, Baal. So when you take the English and you transfer it back to the Hebrew, you don't come out with God. You come out with Baal. Baal was a deity that the Elohim of the Bible said he hates. So why they did it this way, you know, I only say that it's demonic.
Zombie.
You know, so I say that it's demonic, and they have you saying, calling the name of the Most High by the name of another God, the name of another deity. So those, that is why you don't hear me using those words, okay? Now, whatever name you, if you do your studying, whatever name, I'm not against the name of Jesus. And I'm not against the name of Jehovah. If you want to stick with the J, I'm just telling you that in the Hebrew there and in the Greek, there are no letters that make those sounds. It's only in the English. If you look at other languages that use that J letter, it's with a Y sound. Only in the English do they pronounce it with the J sound. All right, that being said, let's jump into this Psalm. Let's see where I was going to start at. Started running my mouth. Give me a hot second here. We're going to be starting in Psalm 94. The book of Psalms 94. And if everybody have it, if you'll go with me there. Psalms 94, because what I believe in is that you read it for yourself, even though I'm going to read it, but you should read it for yourself. Oh, Yah, Elohim, to whom vengeance belongeth. Oh, Elohim, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Yah, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And how all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Yah, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, Yah shall not see. Neither shall the Elohim of Jacob regard it. Understand, you brutish among the people, and you fools, when you shall be wise. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastised the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? Yah knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Is a man whom thou chastens, O Yah, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For Yah will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And amen. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 19. And let's look at just who we are to the Most High, okay? Because you got to understand what your relationship is to the Most High. Are you a heathen? That's what all the Gentiles are called in the scriptures, heathen. Okay? Are you Israel and part of the disobedient? Are you his inheritance? Are you the works of his hand? Just who are we? Isaiah 19, start at verse 24. In that day, and when you have it, if you'll say amen, because I have your mics open. So this is participatory. Isaiah 19. Everybody have it?
Amen.
All right, amen. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom Yah of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be, underline it, Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hand. And who is Israel? And Israel, mine inheritance. He chose Israel to be his priest. He had a priesthood in Egypt. And see, we're not told this. This is part of our history. So when the Egyptian says that, you know, hey, we got the original stuff, that kind of in a way they do, but they corrupted themselves. And the Most High cast them off. He said that in the future, they would come back to him. But in the meantime, I went and got a man out of Ur of the Chaldees. His name was Abraham. I made him walk the land. I made him walk even into Egypt. And I gave him the land of Goshen. Everything that's to the west of the Nile River, I gave him. But I told him, you're not going to possess it right now, but your seed will. So when Jacob went into Egypt, Joseph put him in the land of Goshen. That's the land the Most High had already given to Israel, even though Israel didn't control it and didn't exist as a nation. But the Most High had already promised that land to Abraham and his seed. So Joseph put Jacob and his son, the 70 that came in, or the 68 that came in with him, in Goshen. And Israel became a nation inside of Egypt. Now, in order to get our forefathers to want to leave Egypt, I want you to think about this. The land of Goshen was the best of the best in Egypt. The Most High made sure that Israel had a trade, an occupation that was an abhorrence to the Egyptians. But he made Israel his royal herdsman, okay? You're in the best land of the best in Egypt. You are able to live how the Most High wants the seed of Israel to live, but the seed of Israel became very Egyptian over time. And they had it good. They did not help build cities. They weren't part of that economy. They were the royal herdsmen until there was a pharaoh that came in and conquered Egypt. And that pharaoh was an Assyrian. And he didn't know Joseph. Could care less about Joseph. So he saw the Hebrews, hey, you're the royal herdsman, but not anymore. You're going to start helping to build cities. And he started afflicting them. But this was really at the will of the Most High, because he needed to make a way for his people to cry out and make them want to leave Egypt. I need to make a way for you to want to leave Egypt. So if I have somebody come in and afflict you, then you'll cry out to me, and I'll send a deliverer. And that's where Moses comes in. As soon as Israel start crying out, and we've done this study before, and I show, you know, what helped me to this was, I said, the Egyptians, their history is well documented. Their rulers are well documented. How could there ever be a pharaoh of Egypt that didn't know Joseph? That was a red flag. How is that possible? They can tell you every pharaoh that they had from the first dynasty up to the end. So how is this possible? Well, Egypt was conquered many times. And in this case, during this time, right before the Most High wanted to send them out of the land, they were overtaken by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians said that the people in the land, the Hebrews in the land, are more than we are. There weren't more Hebrews in the land than Egyptians. There were more Hebrews in the land than Assyrians. And the Assyrians were afraid that the Hebrews were going to join side with the Egyptians or somebody else that comes into the land and help to overthrow them. So they said, we need to enslave this people. And they did not want Israel to leave the land. They didn't want to lose that labor force. So he afflicted them. Now, how long were they in Egypt? It depends upon where you start counting. The scriptures will tell you that Israel left 430 years to the day. But when you go back and start counting years, you can't come up with 430 years back to Jacob coming into the land. But we're told in Galatians, the law was given 430 years after the promise was given to Abraham. So the clock started ticking when the promise was given to Abraham. Abraham walked in the land. He was afflicted by the Egyptians. Remember when they took Sarah? And he didn't tell them that Sarah was his sister? Didn't tell them that she was his wife. He said that she's my sister. And then the Most High caused the Pharaoh to know that, hey, this is this man's wife. He said, why did you do that? Why did you not tell us the truth? I could have laid with your wife. I could have took her to be my wife. And the Most High made them more or less apologize to Abraham, and it made Abraham pray for them after he gave them all hemorrhoids and made their women bare. They're not your age, and none of y'all women going to have no children if you don't pay homage to this man, Abraham. Okay, so the 430 years started at the time that the promise was given to Abraham, okay? And at the 430th year to the day, Moses was taking Israel out of Egypt toward the promised land. Within that same year, he gave Moses the law. So that's how we know what this is talking about. All right. So let's go to where are my documents at? Go to Genesis chapter 10. Now, let's sort of do an overview up to the flood. The Most High said that man's thoughts were continually evil. And he had not given men but a couple of commandments, really. Kicked them out of the garden so they couldn't eat from the tree of good and evil. And he told them to honor the Sabbath. Okay? But only the people that follow him did that. The rest of mankind, their thoughts were continually evil. So evil continually, I think, is the way the scripture is worded. So let's go get that. Go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And when you have it, you'll say amen. All right, thank you. And let me turn up my speaker because I'm having a hard time hearing. Turn up my hearing aid. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is why he destroyed man, why he selected 8 souls. Noah was perfect in his generation, save Noah, his sons, their wives, and his wife. 8 souls. After that, man is dispersed over the, starts to disperse over the earth again. Okay, and they build cities and those types of things. Okay? We're going to go and look at Noah's sons. Go to Genesis chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read down through 21. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them sons born after the flood, the sons of Japheth: Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Mesheth, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer: Arkanaz, and Rephath, and Togomar. And the sons of Javan: Elisha, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Dodanim. I think that's how it's pronounced. I have to look. But these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their land. So these are the sons of Japheth. These are the Gentile nations. This is who became the Gentiles. Divided their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim. Mizraim is the original name of Egypt. He is the founder of Egypt, Mizraim. And that's what Egypt was called. It wasn't called Egypt. It was called Mizraim until it was renamed by the Caucasoid races when they so-called discovered Africa. They started renaming countries in Africa. Okay? But the original name of Egypt was Mizraim. And Put and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Ramah and Sabatika, and the sons of Ramah, Seba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty, mighty one in the earth. He was the mighty hunter before Yah. Wherefore it said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before Yah. Now, Ham means black or burnt. Matter of fact, let me look that up. In chapter 10. Okay, Genesis 10, Ham. We looked this up in the Hebrew. Ham means hot or burnt. Okay? And so Ham is supposed to be the progenitor of what they say to all the black races, but not, but what they don't tell you is the Shemites were black. So they wanted to lump all black people up under Ham. But these, the Hamites are really those nations that are those people that are on the African continent who are the color of like blue-black, the really dark black people. Those are the Hamites. The Egyptians look like them, but a little bit lighter. The Egyptians look like the Ethiopians, and the Ethiopians were considered part of the Hamites. Verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Kelneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Ashur, that's the Assyrians, and built Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. And Mizraim begat Ludum, and Anamim, and Lehabim, and Naphtuhim, and Pathrizim, and if I'm butchering these names, you're going to have to excuse me. And
are you doing okay?
Kazlusim, out of whom came Philistim, and Kaphatorim. And the Canaanite begat, and Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebus, and the Amorites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Archites, and the Sinites, and the Arvadites, and the Semarites, and the Hamathites, and afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of Canaanite was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Adama and Zeboim, even unto Lashah. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. All right, so these are the black races, but not all the people of color. These are not the Negroid races. Let me just put it that way. The Negroid races are Semitic. So they fall up under the sun, up under Shem. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even him were children born. Now, if you were to be able to look at some pictures out on the internet, Japheth is known to be the father of the Gentiles, the Caucasian race. And the Gentile is a people. We're commonly taught that they are the white race. Okay? But by the blood, when we look at the journey of man, you don't have just a white race up under that. You have the Chinese, the Japanese, the American Indian, the South American Indians. Everybody with that particular type of hair, actually. But even some of us had that type of hair, but mostly them. Okay, but they are the ones that became the Gentile nation. Now, when we read the Bible, what you're going to find is you don't find any of the sons of Ham or the sons of Shem marrying any of the descendants of Japheth. The Shemite men married a lot of Hamite women. And when we went into Egypt, when Jacob and his 12 sons went into Egypt, they blend right in because they had married Hamite women. Abraham married Sarah, but he had a child by Hagar, who was an Egyptian slave. She was Hamitic. Okay, so this is not anything that was ever uncommon. What you don't find is Ham or Shem marrying Japheth. I don't ever find that anywhere in the scriptures. Which is something to make you go, Okay. Ham is the father of the Hamites, the black people. Ethiopia, the Greek word is Ethiop, burnt faces. Assyrians, black, came from Cush, Ethiopia. And famous Babylonian was Cushite, was Hammurabi, the lawgiver. Mizraim, Egypt, / Nubian, black. Egyptian means black. Goliath was a Philistine, black, out of Mizraim. Moor equals Egyptian. Like the Moors, they equal Egypt. But Libya, West Africa, black. Canaan, Palestine, or Palestinian, black. The original ones. The real Palestinians are black. The people occupying Palestine and calling themselves Palestinians are really Arabs, Ishmaelites. Okay? So just like if we were to look at America today, and you ask and say, well, who are the real Americans? You're not going to see the face of a Native American. You're going to see the face of Japheth because the Americas have been conquered. And a lot of the land, even from biblical times, the people were conquered and new people moved into the land or they mixed. But the original people, that's who we're talking about. Okay? Now, we know that Ishmael and his sons became the Ishmaelites, the Arabs, and they are a people of color. And Abraham slept with Hagar, who was an Egyptian, and created Ishmael. But Abraham was also a man of color. Genesis chapter 37. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And then we're going to jump down to verses 12 and 13. We're going to do a little hopping here. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. No, we don't have favorite children. We don't do that. Because he was the son of his old age. He made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, I went from verse 4, and we just dropped down to verse 12. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock at Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Verse 21. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands. to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben wanted to do the right thing. His other brother said, we want to kill him. Verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down, verse 25, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilgad with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Verse 26, said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Verse 28, then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up. Now, the Ishmaelites and the Midianites are actually of the seed of Abraham. Okay? And I believe they are by his wife, Keturah. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt, and the Midianites sold him. So the Ishmaelites and the Midianites are one and the same. But the Ishmaelites are of the seed of what? Abraham. And they are, the Ishmaelites are from Ishmael, but the Midianites are also from Abraham, and they are from his wife, Keturah. So they sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And the Midianites sold him in Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and a captain of the guard. So some notes out of this. Joseph was 17 years old, was the first Ishmaelite to be sold into slavery. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. So he's the first Israelite because this is Israel. This is the line Israel's going to come through. Midian equals strife, the fourth son of Abram by Keturah, the father of the Midianites. Go to Genesis chapter 25. And we'll come back here to 39. We'll come back to 39. But let's go to Genesis 25. And when you have it, you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to get verse 2. Well, verse 1 and 2. Sarah has died, okay? And Abraham has taken another wife. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimram, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. So the Midianites are of the seed of Abraham by his wife Keturah. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 32. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Thank you. Now the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine. Now they call her his concubine here. We just read in Genesis 25 and 2 that he was his wife. And a concubine would be considered a lesser wife. He bears Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And the sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, Epher, Henoch, Abida, and Eldah. And these are the sons of Keturah. So Abraham had Isaac with Abraham had Isaac with Sarah. He had Ishmael with Hagar. And when Sarah died, he took another wife, Keturah. Okay? And Keturah, if I'm not mistaken, she's a Hamite also, but she might have been Shemite. I can't remember. Do you guys remember when we looked that up? Did we find who she was? Anybody remember? Nope.
I think she was a Midianite.
You think so? You might be right. I can't remember off the top of my head. I know we went and looked her up. We found it someplace, and I don't know where I deal with that document. But she's not of the seed of Japheth, okay? All right, so let's go to look over these notes again. The Arabs, the Ishmaelites, are the first people to buy us as a slave. They sold Joseph to the Egyptians. That's how we Israelites ended up in Egypt. So we know we ended up in Egypt because Joseph was sent there first. Now, I want to talk about that for a minute because the Most High also showed me something many, many years ago concerning us in the diaspora. There's a reason he's not just using this to punish us, but it's also his purpose is dualfold. It's twofold, okay? It was to punish us, but to also make sure, just like with Joseph, he sent Joseph through what? Through slavery, and Joseph became the second in command in Egypt and helped to deliver his brothers. He sent us, and in these last days, he's going to elevate us. He has us sent through captivity to be scattered into all the nations of the world for a purpose. And it's not just for punishment. It started that way, but it has a dual purpose. So as waking us up, we have to do what he says to do. We have to come correct so that he can elevate us to the position that he wants us to have.
Go ahead.
So Joseph was trying to say something. All right, if you have a conversation going on your side that's not meant for this call, then please mute yourself. Joseph was put in prison for a crime, rape, that he didn't commit. He was falsely accused. Now, the world has a habit of doing that to us. Even though a lot of our people were very foolish and what? We go sleep with the women of the other race?
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, if anything happens, they get raped or they get caught doing something that they weren't supposed to do, they say it was a black man.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not anything new. Okay, it's not anything new, okay? So just understand that we face some peculiar things because we wouldn't do what the Most High told us to do. He told us from the beginning, don't mix with the other people. But we've been doing it from the very beginning. And when he brought Israel into the promised land, he said, hey, don't mix with any of the people in the land. But we couldn't wait to mix with those Midianites. Okay. Genesis 39. Let's go there. Genesis 39, verses 1 through 3. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Book of Genesis, chapter 39, verses 1 through 3. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And Yah was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, if we're right in the eyes of the Most High, he will give us favor, no matter if, even if we're in slavery.
Yeah.
Is that not what he just did with Joseph?
Yeah.
He was with Joseph, and Joseph was, what, a prosperous man. We also, if we will walk according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, he will prosper us. But we keep wanting to be like our captors. That's why we need to educate our own. We need to raise up our own community. We're in a land that allows us to do it. Now, granted, in the past, if we ever tried to raise ourselves up, what did they do? What was Black Wall Street all about?
Throw it down.
Right. So we don't want to advertise what we're doing or going to do, but we still need to do it. We need to take back the education of our children. We need to take back our community. If not, start our own community where we can live by the laws of the Most High, that he will prosper us. Okay? So because we're in the land of our captivity, it's no excuse for not doing this. That's all I'm trying to say. Amen?
Amen.
You need a glass of water?
No, I'm going to get one.
Okay, amen. Okay. Give me a hot second. Any questions so far?
No, not yet.
All right. There's no questions. Genesis 39:1-3. We just read that. Just drop down and get verses 7-20. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. She said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master knows not what it is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but you." So think about that. Joseph is saying, hey, in this house, the master of this house has given me control over everything but who? His wife. And now is she trying to get him to what, sleep with her? There is none greater in this house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So Joseph knew that this would what, be wrong? And it came to pass, he spake to Joseph day by day. Wait a minute. This was just one-time event.
No.
He's on this, brother. Come on, come lay with me. That he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about the time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Now, when it says to do his business, he ain't talking about he was going to use the bathroom. He had duties. He had duties he had to take care of. And she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he lifted his garment in her hand, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. No, she kept a hold to that garment though. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left garment in her hand and was fled forth, and she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. So she just set this brother up. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home, till the owner of the house came home. Verse 17, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he lifted his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which was she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did this servant to me, that he was wrapped, he was wroth. His wrath was kindled. He was, you going to try to sleep with my wife? So you can expect him to be, what, angry?
Uh-huh.
And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Now, this was the doing of the Most High, because he needed to move Joseph closer to where? The king? So that he could have him elevated. So he could do a favor and be elevated by the king. Got to be close. So you might be in a situation, and that's why I say we never should look negatively on our situation in the Americas. We need to look at how the Most High can use it to his what, benefit?
Yeah.
To bring about his will. We might be in a position that we don't want to be there. But if we are doing the will of the Most High, if we follow him, there's a reason that he caused this to come on us. He always remains faithful to him. Okay, let's keep going. Black history. Let me not get into a biblical lesson. Verse 21. Okay. I'm not sure where the noise is coming in from the background, but somebody's got a conversation going on that I can hear. So I'm going to mute your line. Okay.
Still going on, ain't it?
It's not now. Okay. We're in verse 22. Verse 21. But Yah was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So now he's been put in charge of what, the prison?
Mm-hmm.
And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Yah was with him. And that which he did, Yah made it to prosper. So, well, we, you know, again, we got to understand that if we are, even though we're in slavery, and Joseph was sent into slavery not for disobedience, but even in our disobedience, if we will do right by the Most High, he will cause us to prosper. Got to do what he says to do. Okay. How long was Joseph in prison? Joseph was in prison for 13 years. Could you imagine that? Somebody has accused you of trying to rape them, falsely accused you, and you in jail in prison for 13 years. Okay. Our first captivity by the Ishmaelite Arabs and the children of the East, Petara's sons, by Abraham. Go to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. We're going to get verses 1 through 4. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came out of the river seven well-favored kine and fat flesh. And they fled, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean flesh kine did eat up the seven well-favored fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. Now you got Pharaoh having a dream. See another seven cows, but they are skinny, like starvation skinny. And they eat up the seven fat cows. And you know Pharaoh's wondering, well, what the heck is that all about? And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, the magi, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler. So we're going to go, we drop down to verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Verse 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and he put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. Verse 12. And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard, and was sold and told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dreams, he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. My office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none. We're in verse 15. And Pharaoh said, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Elohim shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And that's what we got to always remember. It's not us doing it. It's who? The Most High. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of a river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat flesh and well-favored. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, there come 7 years of plenty. Let's see. Drop down. So he tells them the dream. Drop down to verse 29. We're going to read 29 through 50. Behold, there come 7 years of great out of the river. Let's see. 29. Behold, there come up 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was double unto Pharaoh twice, it is because of by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. Verse 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. So Joseph's not only giving him the interpretation, he's giving him a plan of action? What you need to do. which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land shall perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the spirit of Elohim is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as Elohim has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. So wasn't he have the same position in Potiphar's house?
Mm-hmm.
Potiphar didn't hold anything back from Joseph but his wife, saying, hey, everything in the kingdom shall obey you, and you shall be greater. The only thing that you won't have authority over is what? My throne?
My throne.
Okay. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring. I've read that already. This writing is small for me here. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Verse 44, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephaniah. Zephaniah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 36 years old when he stood before the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, wife is a what? Is she a Hebrew? Is she a Shemite?
Egyptian.
She's an Egyptian. She's a Hamite. Okay. And in the 720th years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the city, and the food of the field which were round about every city, laid he up the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which asked the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed in the land of Egypt, and all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all lands. So by no time in those verses mean cows or cattle. Joseph shaved him painted hair, that, you know, you don't see any Egyptian pharaohs with beards or anything like that. From 17 through 30, Joseph suffered, but he never turned away from his Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. At 30 years old, he became the second highest ranking ruler in Egypt, with Pharaoh being the highest. Zephaniah equals prince of the life of this age. That's what that name means. Joseph's wife was black Egyptian, and she is the mother of both of his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph instituted taxation in the land of Egypt. He started that. Genesis chapter 38, verses 1 through 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there the daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. Did we just skip through a bunch of years? Did anybody notice that?
Say that again.
Did we just skip through a bunch of years in a couple of sentences?
We did.
Yeah.
So it came to verse 138 and verse 1. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son. And then the next, and called his name what? Ur?
Yeah.
Now in verse 6, and Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. So I don't know what age it was that Ur was married, but Judah then, in between verses 1 and 3, Judah then took a woman, got her pregnant, and now got a son for his, what, firstborn?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of years went by. So went in unto her equals he had intimate relationships with her. Judah's wife was black. She was a Canaanite. Tamar, a Canaanite, black, is the mother of the Jews, Judite, through her union with Judah. Genesis. Chapter 41, verses 46 and 48. And when you have it, if you say amen.
You said 41, what chapter?
Genesis 41, verses 46 through 48.
Okay. Amen. All
right, amen. Thank you. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in 7 years, plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. So Joseph goes out. He's how old? He's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out for 7 years. So when the seven plenteous years of old are over, Joseph is what, 37?
Yeah. Now, plenty, he's 37.
Yeah. Yes.
And then of old, he's 37 plus 7.
Right. So when everything is all said and done, he's 44 years old.
Right.
But before that time, something's going to happen. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, and the food of the field, and was round about every city, lay he up the same. And the 7 years of plenty that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth, or the drought, began to come, according to Joseph, as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Dearth equals famine, scarcity, lack, shortage, or drought. The famine was everywhere in the area, but in Egypt there was food. Because of who? Joseph. 2, verses 1 through 3. 13, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 13. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? What's wrong with y'all? He said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down there and buy for us from there that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. He was that sold to all people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, where y'all come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. He was dressed like an Egyptian. And they couldn't tell him from the Egyptian. And Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed of them and said unto them, you are spies. To see the nakedness of the land, you are come. And they said unto him, no, nay, my lord, nay, master. But to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, no or nay. But to see the nakedness of the land, you are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them the third day, we are dropping down from verse 13 to verse 18. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear Elohim. If you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your house. But bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Verse 22. And Reuben answered them, saying, "Think I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. So Joseph acted like he didn't speak Hebrew. He spoke to them in Egyptian, and he had an interpreter. And his brothers still don't know who he is. So Joseph was at least 37 years old when he saw his brethren again. Egyptian and Israelite are the same color, black. That's why they couldn't tell him from the Egyptians. If they had been white and the Egyptians black, do you think they would have noticed the difference?
Yep.
If the Egyptians were white and the Hebrews were black, do you think they would have noticed a difference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but they can't tell the difference. Go to Genesis chapter 45. Let's get verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 5.
Amen.
Amen, thank you. Now then we're going to drop down to verse 9 and then to verse 25. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. What? You, Joseph, what you doing here? And you know they got to be scared. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not afraid, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. So Joseph has already gotten a revelation that his slavery is because the Most High needs him there,
yeah,
to do his will. Hurry up and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. Now they got to go back and tell their father, hey, we lied about what Joseph being eaten by that wild animal. He's alive.
Yeah.
And that's what they told him. They brought him back a bloody shirt, his bloody coat, and said that an animal attacked him. And Abram has been in grief all this time.
Yeah.
not Abram, Jacob, has been in grief all this time. So they got problems. Come down unto me and tarry not. And they went up out of the Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So Israel equals Jacob. And we read that, I think we first saw that at I remember where we first saw that at in here. I read right through it. Anyway, when we say Jacob or we say Israel, those names are what, synonymous? They mean the same thing. Jacob's name was actually changed to Israel. Genesis chapter 50. Verses 5 through 11. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Genesis chapter 50, verses 1 through 11. My father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now, therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father, according as he has made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father. And with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house. Only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. Remember, and we would have to go back and get that, but remember I told you that when Jacob came into the land, that Joseph gave him the land of Goshen.
Mm-hmm.
And Goshen was the best of the best land in all of Egypt. And there went up with him both chariots of horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land of Canaan saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. So they didn't see, the Canaanites, that in their eyes, they didn't see any what? Hebrews?
Right.
They only saw Egyptians as far as they were concerned. Wherefore the name of the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And that means, Abel Mizraim means mourning of the Egyptians. When, not mourning like it is in daytime, but their sorrow, mourning. The Canaanite mistook the Israelites for Egyptians. They couldn't tell the difference between them. Moses married an Ethiopian Cushite woman. Before Israel became a nation, they were 12 brothers. They married other black people who were not Israelites. So, technically speaking, we can't actually say that the nation of Israel was ever truly just, what, Semitic? Hello?
Hello.
Because did Semite men marry Hamitic women? Yes, no, maybe so.
No, say that again.
Did the Semite men marry Hamitic women?
Hamitic women. I'm just going to say yes.
You would be correct. They married. Was Joseph's wife a medic?
Yes.
Did Judah go up and marry a Canaanite woman?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. A lot of them did. Not all of them, but a lot of them married Canaanite women. But they were, the Hamitic women were black women. Okay. Go to Exodus chapter 1. What time we got? 7:41. Got about 19 minutes. Exodus chapter 1. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, we're going to be reading verse 1 through 17. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came out of Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, and Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. So we're talking about his sons and their what, children?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it doesn't name the wives here. So I think it was more than 70 people. But his sons and their children would be considered out of his what, loins?
Right.
But their wives wouldn't be considered out of his what, loins?
Out of his loins, right.
Okay. So that's why it's named that way. And Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all of his brethren and all that generation. So this is important here, because now we're talking about the Exodus, and we're talking about the sons of Jacob and their lineage, the 70 that came in. They have married, they have had children, but the original 70 that came in, and that generation, they are have died off at this point, okay? So let's read that. And all the souls, verse 5, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all who?
His brothers.
And all who?
All that generation.
They're
all
dead.
That generation.
So everybody that came in to Egypt with Jacob have what?
Died.
They're dead. Okay. How many years is that?
Huh.
Now, if we wanted to, we could figure that out. Because we're given the birth of certain people in the scriptures, and so we could figure that out. But Jacob was in Egypt 17 years. He died. How old was Joseph when he died?
110.
How old was he when he went into Egypt?
17.
So if he's dead and he died at 110, then 110 minus 17 is what? 193 years?
Mm-hmm.
So at the most, okay, at the most, we know 93 years have gone by. Okay. Now, and Joseph was the youngest son, right?
Right.
Now, his sons aren't dead yet. But Joseph is dead. So we can say at least 93 years have gone by?
At least 93.
Okay. We'll stick with that for just a moment. 93 years, okay? And the children of Israel were fruitful and increase abundantly and multiply and wax exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not who.
No.
Joseph. Joseph saved Egypt. He saved all the lands around there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was second in command in Egypt. If this is the next Pharaoh, a new king, if this is the Pharaoh, if this is the son of the Pharaoh that was that Joseph was under, do you think he would have known Joseph?
Yep.
He
should have known him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So something else has what, happened?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is just not possible. Something else has happened. Okay. And this Pharaoh, this new king over Egypt that don't know Joseph, can't be the son of the previous Pharaoh because he would know Joseph, right?
Right.
And if somebody took power, let's say Pharaoh was overthrown by his own people, do you think that they would know Joseph?
Yep.
Yeah, they would have known Joseph too.
If it was a general or somebody like that? Uh-huh. So then that should raise a red flag. How is it that there's a new king and he don't know Joseph? And hold on a minute. Hold your finger there. Give me a hot second. And we're going to be stopping here in just a second anyway, but Book of Isaiah chapter 52. And when you have it, say amen.
52?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Isaiah chapter 52, starting in verse 1. Awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith Yah, you have sold yourselves for naught, for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yah Elohim, my people went down aforetime into where?
Egypt.
To sojourn there, and who oppressed them?
All right.
The Assyrian oppressed them without a cause. This is how this king didn't know Joseph. He was an Egyptian. He was a what?
Assyrian.
They had been overtaken. Okay, overthrown. So when we read some of these verses, let's go back to Exodus chapter 1. When we read some of these verses, they should make more sense to you. Okay. So the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. Verse 6. Joseph died and all his brethren, all of that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. We know how that is now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. He's not an Egyptian. He's a what?
Assyrian.
And the Assyrians are occupying Egypt. So Israel, it was more Israelite There were more children of Israel than there were who? Assyrians.
Assyrians.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because when I read that before the Most High showed me, I said, how in the world, and people were interpreting this way, that the Israelites were more in number than the Egyptians. I said, how in the world can that be when the Egyptians have been in the land thousands of years? And in less than a few years, we were some humping people then. I'm serious. I mean, come on now. It didn't make sense. But it makes sense when we understand that Egypt is known what? Overthrown?
Mm-hmm.
And they are being occupied by the Assyrians. And the Assyrian is now saying, the children of Israel are more and mightier than who? Mm-hmm. We are.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Okay. Come, let us deal wisely with them. Lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falls out any war, they join also unto our enemy and fight against us. Get up out, and so get up where?
Out of the land.
We don't want them to leave. They might fight against us and get up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. Now, who is Pharaoh?
Assyrian king.
He's an Assyrian king, but he's got the title of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So if you don't go looking for this, you just don't think that it's the what? Who, Egyptians?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not who it's talking about here. Okay. Let's continue. So they now, for the Pharaoh, I think I need to get this for y'all so that y'all have it for your own information. Give me a hot second, then we'll stop. I'm going to show you this as well. And we want to be looking in Genesis, I believe. How was that word? Go to Genesis 46. And we're going to be, let's see where I want to start here. Book of Genesis chapter 46. And let's start in verse 30. We'll get the context, okay? Genesis 46 and verse, starting in verse 30. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Thank you. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade has been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? He's talking to Jacob now. When Pharaoh calls you and says what your occupation is, this is what I want you to tell him. That you shall say, thy servant's trade has been about cattle from our youth, even until now. Both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. Okay, so for every shepherd is an abomination unto who?
The Egyptians.
So tell them that you're sheep herders, and that's the way you've been your whole life, and you're going to dwell in the land of Goshen. Okay, now Let's go to chapter 47. Because these things are important when we are talking about history. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds all they have have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said, now Joseph knew Pharaoh was going to ask this, right?
Mm-hmm.
"What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren dwell. In the worst of the land."
Not in the best of the land.
In the land of what?
Goshen.
Let them dwell there. Now, this is the same land that Abraham walked. This is the same land that the Most High gave to Abraham and said, your descendants shall own it. Okay? So when Jacob them come into Egypt, where does Joseph have Pharaoh to put them?
In Goshen.
In Goshen, which
best
is the what?
Land.
Best land in Egypt. "And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my what?"
Yeah.
So they were the royal herdsmen. They were set apart in the land of Goshen. They had the best of the best. Now, if you got the best of the best land and you got a cushy job, hey, we're the royal herdsmen. And we don't build cities. We don't make brick. We don't pitch tar. Because that was the Egyptian economy, okay? That's how they ran their economy. Joseph them made sure that his brethren didn't do that. They were what? We are sheep herders. That's what we're going to do. We herd cattle and stuff like that. Now, if you got the best of the best, let's say you're in the city where you're at, and you got the best of the best. You're living in the best part, the best neighborhood. You got the best crib. You got the best ride. You ain't got no bills. What's going to make you want to leave there?
Not much.
It's going to be hard to make you leave, right?
Right.
So the Most High had the cause this Assyrian to come into the land to make the children cry out to him. That's why there was a king that didn't know Joseph, so that he would afflict them and make them cry out to the Most High, deliver us. He had to make the children of Israel want to leave Egypt, or else they wouldn't have wanted to leave. What do you mean, get up out of here? We got it good. We got it made.
Right.
He ain't trying to go nowhere. So he come on them so that they would cry out to him. And then when you do the homework and you figure out the years, the number of years that Jacob was actually and the 12 sons were actually in Egypt, you can't come up with 430 years. Given the information that is in the book, you can't come up with 430 years. Come up with 215 years, but you can't come up with 430 years. But even so, I'm saying that because they were actually only in slavery between 64 years being afflicted, not 430 years. Moses, as soon as the children of Israel started to cry out to the Most High, guess who he caused to be born? their deliverer. Moses wasn't alive when he caused them to be born, because he knew he was going to deliver them out of Egypt. And he knew exactly to the date that he was going to bring them out. But first, I gotta have your deliverer to be born. It's another 80 years to go by. Okay. So, with that, we will fold this up right here on this evening, after the hour, top of the hour. And we will pick this back up on next Sabbath. We will continue to show that who our forefathers married, out of what lineage, what line. And as I've said before, I want to say this again, this is never, you know, Esau, Jacob and Esau were brothers.
Yes, they were.
So how could Esau ever be, if Jacob and the Israelites are black, how could Esau ever be white? Except for he'd be what, an albino?
Right. Well, he'd still be black, but he's a different color.
Right. But the truth of the matter is, it's not even about his color. They have made it about his color. Okay. What did Jacob represent? No, not Jacob. I'm asking the wrong one. Good grief. I'm having a brain dump. Who was Esau's brother? It was Jacob, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jacob and Esau. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Getting lost in my own thoughts. Okay. They represented... Then wasn't she told that there were going to be two nations in her family?
Mm-hmm.
Two different types of people. But they were both Shemites. But the two nations they represent were believers and unbelievers.
Okay.
That's who he's talking about. Jacob despises what? I mean, not Jacob. Ishmael despises, not Ishmael, good grief. Esau despises what? Birthright?
Birthright, right.
And Jacob cared for enough that he would what? Steal it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it's talking about. Those who truly want the kingdom and those that don't.
Mm.
That's the two people that they represent, the two different. So... we will, that's a spiritual lesson. We'll get into that another time. We'll continue in this vein. I hope that they have not blocked this brother's site or had it taken down so that it can't come back up, because I really would like to continue to use the site. But nevertheless, I'm sure there's no questions on what we have read tonight.
No.
Okay. All right, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on this evening. We thank you for your scriptures and for you having it written in such a way that we should search you out, Father, and search out what you have done. Father, be with each and every person who is listening to this broadcast on this night. Be with them and their loved ones. We pray for anybody that is in the hospital that you would your favor, that you would go against what the doctors are saying. You will go against our lying eyes, that what we see may not be your will, and that you come and do what you are known to do, that you make the impossible possible. That when the doctors say no, or when it looks like the answer is no, or when it looks like the situation is so dire that there's no hope, there's always hope in you.
Okay.
Let your will, perfect will be done. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. we will meet again on next Saturday night. I do have a farmer's market to go to in the morning and to be out there early. I'm going to have to get up. I think I'm going to do what I've been doing. Pretty much got it down to a science now. And growing out of these trays with screens, not using dirt, I can just grab a bunch of plants in my hand and just pull them right up. And then just cut the roots off,
mm-hmm.
put in the package, just lay it out just as pretty. But, you know, I don't, that's the way I'm harvesting now. I just, you know, make sure I got the steel pad laid down secure, and I just pulled a complete plant. I just take a bunch in my hand and make sure I got them and pull them straight up out of that spring.
Hmm.
They come right up out of there, no dirt on them because there's no dirt to be used. And then I just cut the roots off and put them in the package. You know, harvesting and planting real easy.
Right.
And when I'm making like the wellness mix, which is a little bit of everything, I just set all those trays out and just pick what I want out of each one. Just pull it out, cut it, and, you know, put it in the thing. Rather than trying to cut a harvest, I can just pull it up out of the tray. So I'm loving, and I've gotten it to where the harvest, not this week, but the harvest from last week. Remember I told you I had a problem with it? They just didn't come up right. I realized that I did not leave them covered long enough, you know, with pressure on them, so that the roots would go down through this metal, through the holes in the metal. I took them off of there too early, so they never could reach the water.
Okay.
So I did it again, and I'm using a different type of tray that is not as deep, so I don't have to use much water, and the roots don't have to grow that far before they hit water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at them today, and everything is looking good. I got probably 12 trays of microgreens that are growing. 16 trays, two of everything. And then a couple of more broccoli because broccoli seems to be big. And then we eat broccoli here a lot, the smoothies and stuff in the cabbage. So I got those growing. So I'm trying to grow enough, you know, for me and my son is consuming them now. My wife is consuming them now because they see the benefits of them. So I have to grow enough for us, and plus my father-in-law, I've been, you know, growing for him, and plus any orders that we have. And then I made the decision that anything that doesn't sell, I'll bring it and put it on the dehydrator,
mm-hmm.
and dry them out, because they can mm-hmm. still keep the nutritional value doing that.
Yeah.
And we'll turn them into, grind them up and turn them into a powder.
Yeah.
That you mix in with your smoothie or mix in whatever you're going to do. You know, actually, I think I saw where somebody made them into like a salt to help season your food.
Hmm.
So I might even do that and make it something that another product that we sell.
Okay.
You know, just, you know, make the labels and this and that, you know, whatever type of salt. And, I want to see what type of salt they were using, whether it was sea salt that they added to it. And, what the mixture was. Because, you know, I don't want to give somebody just straight salt or too
right.
much. But make it a seasoning where, you know, they're not going to be, it'd be getting more microgreens than they are salt. But the salt flavor will still be there.
Oh, okay.
And then I told you guys I partnered up with this guy that makes balsamic vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when I get off the phone here, off this line, I will need to go out on Amazon and see if I can find some little serving cups so I can give out samples with this vinaigrette mm-hmm. sauce on it, this balsamic vinegar. So it's to make the people, you know, have an idea like, oh, this is how the microgreens taste, and with this vinegar, and it's really going to be supporting both of our business. So they'll buy that from
right.
him, but he's also going to be, I'm going to be giving him samples, like I might give him, you know, a couple of containers of microgreens, like radishes or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he will put them in those sample cups too. And you know, when he's giving out samples of his dressing, it'll have the microgreens in it. So when the people want to know, oh well, you know, where I can get these greens at, then he'll be sending them to me that way.
Right. Okay.
And I'll be sending him to them, the vice versa.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, and then I don't think he sells in the summer, and I plan to sell through the summer. So I may talk to him about getting some cases of it on consignment.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's not selling, or, you know, I say, okay, you're selling them for this price, and you give them to me on consignment, wholesale for this price. When I sell them, I will, you know, put the money in your account, and I'll keep the profit because I'm selling them.
Right.
And then when he comes back into town, then, you know, of course, you just take it back over again. But anyway, that's what we're, you know, that's what I'm going to be working on tonight. Well, I'm not going to work on those tonight. I'm going to get up about 4 a.m. and harvest what I need to harvest and make it out to the farmer's market tomorrow. All right. May the Most High bless you. Any questions or anything like that, comments?
I don't have any questions.
I don't have any either.
All right. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Shalom.
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 And roll the credits, Bob.
Okay.
Good grief. My eyesight going.
Hello, man.
God.
Always.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Have a rest, a blessed rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. And let me end this broadcast. All right. Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings, Hazel. Peace and blessings to you.
Amen.